0-1, two down, bottom nine, the pitch. High pop-up should do it. Into shallow left field, Story goes out. In comes Duran, and fittingly, it's Jaron to make the play. The human spark plug puts it away, and the Red Sox win it today, 13-3. They take 2 of 3 in Cleveland. A good start from Bayo. They head north of the border with a ton of momentum.
This is WEEI Afternoons
with Andy Hart, Nick Fitzy Stevens,
and three-time Super Bowl champion Ted Johnson on WEEI.
WEEI Afternoons in our Brighton studios. Another beautiful day. These mornings have been unbelievable, guys. Like, we've turned a corner.
Hey, spring's finally here.
Spring, summer's around the corner.
Watch out. Don't jinx it, guys. We're not officially there. Could be a spell. You never know. Sometimes we've had some of them May showers, so watch it.
So we had the tease before the break, and we all know that host 101 is you're going to pay off the tease, right, Dan Ball? So the question is, Marcelo Meyer, International League Player of the Week, he's raking. Roman Anthony had an x-ray, negative. He'll be fine, but he has been hot like a toddy for much of the minor league baseball season. You got two guys that feel like they need to be in the big leagues. And yet the question is, where do they play? Who do you sit? Where do they fit? So Fitzy, answer the question, jerk.
What? You want what? The question, jerk. I don't know. I mean, this is not just an Alex Cora question. This is now also a Brez question, a Kennedy question, an organizational question. Do we start the clock in these kids now, or do we let them just start? Have they now tapped into their talent so much that they're forcing the conversation and forcing their hand? Are they better served in Worcester now, raking and dominating, or would they be better served coming up and playing, what, 2 games a week? I think you probably want them playing every day to build up their baseball stamina, correct?
That's my answer. I think right now they belong in Worcester. They belong playing every night. They belong raking. They belong feeling good and prepping
How do you do that for, you know, and not get called up and then still stay engaged and have your edge? I just think there's a point in which, as a player, you're like, okay, I've been knocking the cover off the ball here for a long time and I'm still not getting called up. I mean, how much? And then that would, I don't know, as from a psychological standpoint, I could see that kind of almost, all right, I don't know, taking some of the fire and the sting away for you.
Well, especially for Marcelo Meyer, who I believe it was with Jones and Keefe on opening day out at Polar Park, kind of voiced his disappointment and said he belonged to be in the big league. Yeah. Like, he expected to be in the big league.
He belonged on the major league roster. Yeah. Correct. Yeah. And I love that swag.
I do too, as long as it doesn't become in any way counterproductive, or like you're kind of insinuating, Ted, do you become
complacent?
Yeah. Do you lose your edge? Yeah. Now all of a sudden you're in a slump, and it's like, well, now I can't bring you up because you're in a slump. We don't want you up until you get back to raking. So
if Roman Anthony's not playing first base and he's going to be an outfielder, I mean, what do you like? Jaron Duran's not going anywhere and left. I mean, that's Cora's like been saying that forever.
Yeah.
So it's either center field or right field.
And Rafaela, for a while, people were talking about Rafaela was struggling. Maybe that's an opportunity. And
not in the field, but at the bat.
Now he's hot
as can be. He's gone streaking now.
Yeah, now he's batting. I think Dan Ball said last 7 days he's batting over 300. He had the 5 RBI. Like, he's having a great run here. And they gave him that extension last year. They want him to be this dynamic center fielder who can be a little bit of a spark plug at the bottom of the lineup. So I think this is a little bit like Fitzy when we say, well, you got 6 pitchers. You're going to have to go to a 6-man rotation. These things tend to play themselves out. And I don't want to jinx anybody, but I'm just saying, Trevor Story doesn't have the most consistent history of being available. Like, your guy Bregman is available, but he's not the youngest guy. Like, these things tend to play themselves out. You overanalyze. Don't force it. I guess that would be my, like, don't force it. It's a long season, and take it where it comes.
Or somebody should probably remind Willie or Abreu that he should be renting.
Oh, now we're taking shots at Willie Abreu. You know the funny name
that
I think?
That's not a shot. That's a, hey, you're a good ball player, but we have more people that can do what you do and potentially better. So
it might be an asset. And we need Mason Miller, so you might look better in green than blue and red.
It always comes back to him.
Story and Abreu for Miller? I'd do it in a heartbeat.
I'll do Slayton, Abreu, and something else.
I'll even throw in a gently used Yoshida if you'll take that contract off the books, and there's no chance that the Oakland A's would do that, or Sacramento A's, where the hell they are now. Because I think he's also a funny name, Dan Ball. No one talks about Yoshida. You have a $20 million DH.
It's incredible.
Who is just just out of sight, out of mind.
Just chilling, collecting his money.
Good life.
Not doing anything.
Yes, Dan Ball.
It's funny you say that nobody talks about him. I saw the use of the Jordan meme of we're not talking about that. Somebody put the quote of, so what's going on with Masataka Yoshida?
And
the response was the picture of we're not talking about this.
So we don't talk about, let me get this straight. The pecking order is we don't talk about Bruno and we don't talk about how Belichick and Jordan met. Is that correct, Dan?
Nope. Yep.
That is correct.
Let's go to the phone line, 617-779-7937. Rob in Swampscott wants to talk about this question with no answer. What do you do with Roman Anthony and Marcelo Meyer? What's up, Rob?
How you doing, fellas? I agree that you can't force it, but let me just ask a general question. If you've got two young studs that are getting it done at the AAA level, and then you have somebody on your major league team who we might have had high expectations for, but has shown us, without a doubt, his bat is not consistent and his defense is skeptic. I mean, I'm trying to understand the love affair with Tristan Casas.
Yeah, I was wondering where you're going. Yeah.
All right, thanks for the call, Rob.
I was like, he's got to be talking about Casas.
I don't think there is a love affair. But there is a, we don't have a plan B affair problem here. Like, there, again, if one of those two players played first base, I think they'd already be in the big leagues. They'd be playing for the Boston Red Sox every night.
It's crazy, though. This is also a team that had Kyle Schwarber playing first base.
Oh, yeah.
They're literally like, you know what, can you just, I don't know, in some really important games, play a position you're really not comfortable playing for us a little bit. I just think there's the perception is around here is that anybody can play first base.
Yeah, I kind of feel that way, too.
That's what it feels like.
You know who else said that? Will Middlebrooks. I believe his quote in, and I don't know if it was on Nesson or on WEEI's broadcast, was because he played third and then at times would be asked to play first. He considered it, quote, a night off.
Wow.
Because it was so much easier. He's like, you basically knock the ball down and then either touch first or lob the ball to the pitcher.
I mean, I'll be honest. That's, to me, is the spot. Like, why are they, if they're reluctant to play Roman Anthony at first?
Because those guys are so good at their other positions, their long-term positions, of value. Yeah. And you don't want to screw with a young player and although...
And you don't want to...
I think that would really screw with him, having him take a couple reps at first.
I don't, but I just don't know that it's worth it. And again, I don't know that you need to force it yet. Maybe you'd start to get desperate if you were, not the Rockies, but if you were like 10-20 right now. But you're two games above 500, you're in second place.
They can do it.
Just extend it. Yeah. Long play it, see what happens. We have some breaking news here, Stiz, on WEEI Afternoon, so roll it.
Breaking news. Breaking news on WEEI is presented by the BetMGM Network. For all your betting needs, check out the newly rebranded BetMGM Network on the Odyssey app or locally on WEEI AM 850.
The writing was on the wall on day three of the NFL draft. The purge of longtime Patriots continues, Ted Johnson. According to Mike Reese, the Patriots have informed veteran long snapper Joe Cardona that they are releasing him, per sources, had been the team's longest tenured player, and they drafted long snapper Julian Ashby out of Vanderbilt in the seventh round this past weekend.
That?
So Joe Cardona, we've talked about the David Andrews, the Juwan Bentleys, the different leaders, captains that have been released. Now Joe Cardona, the longest tenured Patriot, Navy man, a guy who had been a spokesman and their long snapper well back into the Belichick days, is no longer with the team, according to Mike Reese. Reaction to this, is this just because he hasn't been great? If we're going to put all the facts on the table, over the last couple of years, there's been a few more errant snaps in some games. But do you think this is a physical thing, or is this another cleanse?
It's a cleanse, and it's also a money thing. Like, the guy's going into his 11th year, and are you kidding me? I think he's probably close to...
He's the highest paid long snapper in the NFL.
I mean, at what, probably $3 million a year, $4 million a year, something I think I heard? Are you kidding me?
It's a lot. But, you know, if you want some veteran stability, my question, Mike...
No. Long snapper?
$1.5 million a year.
How much?
So,
$1.5 million.
Is that his salary or his cap number? Because I also thought...
Salary.
Yeah, the cap number is higher. I think he had some bonus money in there that pushes it higher.
Yeah.
But my question would be, for a team that looks like, or I think we all think they may play defense, probably not be the highest scoring offense as they figure things out, tight ball games, you have a rookie long snapper and a rookie kicker now. Any concerns with that? Is that a big deal, or is that just the cost of rebuilding business?
I could see that maybe being an issue. I do love the kicker pick. I'm not going to lie. I mean, they keep picking kickers. Hopefully they'll get it right. But you know what? There might be something to that. But my guess is you don't draft a long snapper unless he's just money. Unless he's just he's done it time and time again at the collegiate level. Mm-hmm. They protect these guys more than they ever did when I was playing. They don't even get hit, and they're not even expected to really make tackles on punt. And so I don't think it's that big of a deal, to be honest with you, Andy. I could see how you might go that direction, but I wouldn't be that concerned. I mean, if you're going to draft a long snapper, you've seen him make hundreds, if not thousands of snaps that were accurate and on point, and so you feel pretty good about him not being a liability.
Only in New England would we have breaking news that they're releasing a long snapper.
Joe Cardona.
I mean, he's been here 10 years.
I know
years.
It's Cardona, and around here, years. Like Lonnie Paxton, you become an absolute legend.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. Do you guys know what round he was drafted in?
Joe Cardona?
Yeah.
Fourth.
Fifth. The fifth round.
Yeah. I knew it was a little higher.
Because he was a serviceman.
It was Bill's pick from the Navy.
And don't kid yourself. That's part of the purchase.
Did you see the sweatshirt he was wearing during the interview on CBS? What did it say across the chest?
You know, it's interesting.
And Joe, please help me.
Not UNC.
Wasn't David Andrews and Joe Cardona there at Vrabel's introductory press conference?
They were the only.
It's like the only two
guys
there.
They were the only two players there. I sat behind him. It was Joe. Absolutely.
Andy, I hate to say it, guys, but the captain's curse of 2024 is complete.
No
Every
doubt.
Single one of them is gone.
Okay, Ted, you were ahead of the curve.
No, there's
this.
One. There's one left, right? Isn't Jabril Peppers or Kyle Duggar? Weren't their captains one of those guys?
Jabril Peppers was a captain until
he wasn't.
They made him not
he
a
was
captain.
Uncaptained.
So I think maybe.
So the C for cocaine was removed from the C from his chest. I'm not a cheap shot. It was in the police report. No, I'm just saying it.
It's out there.
It's out there. Yes, Dan Ball.
How long, over under 1 month, till Cardona is on the sideline at a UNC practice?
He's on his way now.
A week?
He's on his way now.
5 days?
Yeah. No, he'll be the ROTC coordinator that works down on the campus of North Carolina. No, I do just have a – so we're talking about margins here, Fitzy. I know you're a guy that thinks they could be a playoff team. You, Mina Kimes, and Kay Adams are all on the bandwagon for the playoffs. But – don't you think one game is going to decide this team's playoff fate in all likelihood? Like one game, maybe a field goal, maybe a snap, maybe mm-hmm. This is adding
the
a
margins,
layer.
Andy.
Yeah, this is adding a layer there that I don't know. I'm just saying it could be something we're discussing come November.
I feel you. But also I'm also feel pretty confident about our special teams coach. You know, so I think they're well coached.
Yeah. Isn't he?
He's
the only
holdover.
That,
yeah. He's the only holdover. So
he was also the only one that handled the end of the season well. If you remember, everybody was saying dumb stuff about Gerard and the coaching staff and their jobs. Yeah. And he handled
know your
it well.
Role. Shut your mouth. You suck. No, you suck more.
No, Jeremy Springer was like, yeah, we need to do that better. I always assume if people boo me, it's because we're not doing a very good job on the football field and we should probably be better. I was like, yeah, this guy kind of gets it, knows what he's talking about.
Yeah, you guys pay to see us perform and we didn't perform, so you have a right to be unhappy and we should do better. Like, also, super great interview, nice guy. And guess what? Andy, craziest thing happened. The unit that he coached improved from the previous season. How about that?
The damnedest thing. And Ted, I know you poo-poo this. I believe you poo-pooed this when David Andrews was cut, and I brought it up. Juwan Bentley, all these guys that are no longer here, the experienced guys. This is another guy who was sort of a talker, and I know he's the long snapper. It's a little different, but they would put him out at events. They would put him.
Oh, yeah.
There are a lot of mic flag opportunities available for players on this team. Will Campbell's going to be one of them at some point. If it's not year one, it's year two. Morgan Moses might be the O-line guy this year. He's clearly comfortable talking to the media. But
aren't we excited about that? It's been the same guys. No offense to those guys, but I mean, Bill identified the guys he wanted to talk.
Yeah.
And it was the same stuff. They never said, but they take all the answers. I mean, okay, but there's just no personality. They weren't fun guys to cover. Good football players, but can we get some personality on this team?
Okay, I like what you did there. You spun it on its ear and you turned it into a positive. New voices, new styles.
They need something new and different, man.
That's why I love Will Campbell.
Yeah,
how do you not love that guy?
Who's the defensive guy? Milton Williams? Is he going to be one? Robert Spillane? Is it
Spillane
just Gonzo?
Spillane seems like an oddly quiet, nice guy.
Yeah, so yeah, is Gonzo's a quiet, nice guy, too. Like, so that side of the ball.
What's Carlton Davis or Harold Landry? Landry seems like a good dude. I don't think he's going to get out over it. Milton Williams might be our guy. He seems like he's funny.
Well, yeah, but he might be tired from playing a lot.
He's the most accomplished with making the most money. You hope that those guys are also kind of those players, too.
Yeah, and this is not the biggest deal. If they play well, all these various guys, the spokesman, the first guy to the podium after a game is totally irrelevant. Should remind you also that Drake May will be holding a press conference Thursday, Gillette Stadium. First time we've heard from him since before the Bills game. Remember, he didn't talk after the Bills game, and then he didn't talk the day after, the garbage bag day.
Does he get asked about Joe Milton?
He will absolutely be asked about Joe Milton, his relationship.
Better not be the first question, though.
How much you want to bet? Because I can run down there and try to make it the first question and rig this bet a little bit if you want me to.
That'd be awesome if you went down there.
Maybe I will.
Representing the show.
I try. But then I get mocked. Then I get mocked when I say I sat behind David Andrews and Joe Cardona at Vrabel's press conference.
We're just keeping you honest. It's a brag, and we told you were ragging.
617-779-7937. We're talking Red Sox, Patriots. And up next, we're going to get to the NFL draft because there is more to chew on. I know Ted wants to talk about Shedeur Sanders, who's the greatest fifth-round quarterback in the history of the world. Should have gone number two overall.
I sure do.
Now he's in the fifth round. See how that ties into his thoughts on Deion and the coaching job that's going on at Colorado. We'll have our favorite pick, I think, from the Patriots, which I also put up as a poll question. Some interesting results there. Little NFL Patriots draft talk up next here on WEEI Afternoons. But first, Dan Ball, give me what's trending.
This is WEEI Afternoons
with Andy Hart, Nick Fitzy Stevens, and Ted Johnson.
WEEI Afternoons, that was a hand-chosen clip from Ted Johnson there. Disgusted Mel Kiper was.
Apoplectic?
Yeah.
Good word.
He was apoplectic.
Ted's word of the day.
Oh, my.
Apoplectic.
I've never seen Mel Kiper. It was like that was his son getting passed over.
Felt personal, right?
Oh, I have never.
It was
never.
Like his entire reputation felt like it was staked to that.
For real, I was like, why? I mean, it was he went on a diatribe the night that happened, or, you know, the draft night, whatever, Saturday. And it was like, why is it? This feels so personal to Mel Kiper. And part of it might be, then you look, and I asked you, off air, where did Mel Kiper have Shedeur ranked as his overall prospect?
Five.
Number five.
Much higher than most in terms of prospect rankings.
So if you just go the value chart, the Browns got a good value if you go by Mel Kiper's ranking.
Great value.
I couldn't believe how personal. And he's... The NFL doesn't know anything about quarterbacks. Like, Mel, have you always been right on all your prospects?
No, we're all wrong.
What makes you an expert in quarterbacking in the NFL, bro?
Bill Belichick, whoever you want to say was a good drafter or a bad drafter, they all had home runs and they all had swings and misses. That's the nature of the beast.
There's enough out there that tells you why he went where he went.
So can we agree? So Mel is like, never in the history of my board has a player that high dropped that far. Can we agree that Shedeur Sanders is very unique? The totality of the situation, his career, his skill set, his personality, his dad, all of that is, he's like a one of one.
You
got
to factor all of that in.
Yeah.
It's a perfect storm of polarization.
No doubt.
Right. And so for Mel to act like they screwed him or he's right and they're wrong. So Dan Ball gave me some stats. These are interesting. And then we're going to get into some of the factors of why he fell.
Correct.
Like, there's reasons.
Factors that people haven't really talked much about.
And you can put blinders on and pretend whatever. There are reasons. But so Dan Ball, from 2005 to 2024, 33 QBs were selected in the fifth round, where Shedeur Sanders went, which is two rounds after Dylan Gabriel, his rookie teammate with the Browns. Another layer of weirdness to the whole thing in Cleveland.
Yeah.
18 of the 33 have started an NFL game. So more than half started an NFL game of those fifth-round quarterbacks drafted. Their combined record is 36-87.
Oof.
That's not great.
Oof.
Bad. That's not great.
Thought it might actually be worse, but not great, Bob.
Wow. Their combined TD to interception ratio is 125 for TDs. You're like, that's not bad, right? That's a lot of TDs.
Mm-hmm.
To 166 interceptions. That's an upside down number no one likes.
That's a three to four. It's not a great ratio.
Yeah, not great. You're supposed to be 2-1. That's 3-4. So will Shedeur Sanders start? Absolutely. Like, I'd be stunned if he doesn't. unless something really crazy happens, he'll start. They don't have a starting quarterback.
Dollhands is not starting. The massage therapist is not starting. It's either old man Flacco or Sanders, because Dylan Gabriel is smaller than my seven-year-old.
But he was drafted, what, two rounds in front of him?
Yes. That's weird.
So wait a minute. But is Flacco, is he hurt? Is he coming off an injury? Or no, is he fine?
No, I think he's fine.
What makes you think that Flacco won't start?
He's 172.
Okay. That guy.
He never should have left in the first place. That being said, he gets. Actually, Ted, he operated the Kevin Stefanski offense better than any quarterback has since Stefanski became a head coach.
Yes, Daniel.
He also won the 2023 NFL Comeback Player of the Year award for being old and playing for the Jets.
Yeah. That is true. Terrible
things to have going against you, Dan.
Ted, why did Shedeur Sanders fall?
Well, there's a lot of theories out there. The two biggest that are kind of thrown out there right away is just the way he approached the draft. And in particular, he didn't approach the draft process like a guy that is a good quarterback, but maybe not a great quarterback, right? He didn't participate in any events in the combine. He didn't do the All-Star games. Those are two big knocks against him. And then just his overall attitude. He didn't interview well. Those are kind of the main things that come out there. Well, I was looking at Burt Breer, SI.com, had a couple other anecdotal stories in regards to why Shedeur might have fallen. And I just want to read you these two examples that he gives and then see what you guys think. So he said this about Shedeur. A lot of times in combine meetings, teams will have a player's worst plays ready for him when he enters the room. And along those lines, one had a particularly rough rough interception teed up for Sanders in Indianapolis. When asked to explain it, Sanders didn't take blame. And as they dove deeper into it and how it might relate to the NFL level, Sanders simply concluded that maybe he and the staff he was talking to might not be a match.
There's a good idea.
There's one.
So there's 32 employers maximum, and not all of them really need quarterbacks. But let's just say, and you're like, you know what? I'm going to cross you off.
Good.
You don't cross me off the list. I'll cross you off the list.
Ahead of another visit, he got an install with mistakes intentionally planted in it, done to see if the quarterback would catch them. Sanders didn't catch them. A coach called him out on it, and the resulting exchange wasn't pretty. So, I mean, you
two teams off the board.
You're spending all this money, and then I've heard things about some of the activities that he was doing in that week leading up to the Alamo Bowl. Mm. If I heard about it, NFL teams heard about it, and it's, you know, I don't know, the flashy cars, the jewelry, they built a draft room just for him. For the night of the draft. That's all. Hey, that's fine. He can do whatever he wants.
But
the teams are investing a lot of money in this player. And if they're.
How'd that game go, by the way?
We got our asses kicked by BYU,
yeah,
man.
36-14.
Pummeled by BYU. So, I mean, that's the stuff you care about. You care about that stuff just as much as you care about the on-field talent.
So I was
when it
told,
comes to that position.
I was told that Wiggy was kind of ranting this morning that Shedeur is clean. Like, there's no, I guess, arrests, whatever.
Yeah,
I didn't hear it live.
Arrest,
but Wiggy, Ted has heard stories. I can tell you I have heard stories. I can't validate them, so I'm not going to share the stories, but I have heard stories. You don't think the 32 NFL teams that have like ex-FBI agents doing investigations have not only heard stories, but have investigated those and found out where the truth is. So to say he's like this squeaky clean prospect, he is not, both football-wise and activities-wise. And you know what he kind of reminds me of in a little way?
What?
A talentless or a less talented Mike Vick. Because we all know Mike Vick admitted later in his career, like, yeah, I didn't really watch film and I didn't really do the things you need to do to be a quarterback and had some issues. He was the fastest guy I've ever seen with the strongest arm I've ever seen. Huh. The damnedest thing is he got drafted in the first round. He went number one overall, right? Like, when you have that freakish ability, it can cover some of the warts. Shedeur has the baggage and also has mediocre arm, mediocre pocket presence. There's a lot of people, me included, that believe he hit his ceiling at Colorado. Good career at Colorado. Didn't warrant his jersey being retired, but good career at Colorado. But that's
13-12 doesn't merit a number retiring?
No, it's weird. Damnedest thing. And your last game was a 36-14 blowout after you may have enjoyed yourself a little too much before the bowl game during the week in the Alamo.
Do you guys think do you think he deserved to go in the fifth round? Because I don't. I think he showed enough on tape to be a third rounder.
Bingo, Ted.
And then just because of the baggage, he went in the fifth round.
Absolutely. And I also want to throw in there, Fitzy, do you remember the visual when he was drafted? Did it look like they wanted Shadur?
No. Not at all. That was crazy.
No, the only thing I remember was that graphic of the dog bone bouncing around in the stadium.
That was gross.
But it looked like a
yes, we know what it looked
gentleman's
like.
Gentleman's hockey bag.
Yes, we know what it looked like.
I have a theory
like.
About that, too.
So I have a theory, too. Go I don't think they wanted him. I don't think Andrew Berry and Stefanski and the football people wanted him. I think the owners said, this is too good a value. This is too good a would-be star. I think that was a pick forced upon them by somebody outside of the war room.
Come on, no way.
Yeah.
Or it was just like, guys, we can't. We don't have a starting quarterback. We can't validate not selecting him at this point.
Whoever
like,
it
we
is.
Have to let's take a flyer.
But here's where I push. You don't trade up. They traded up for him.
You do if the owner tells you to.
But you say someone outside the room.
Yeah, the owner.
Oh, you're talking about
Jimmy Haslam is great at making personnel decisions with the Browns.
I think the owner
I thought you meant
said,
like the, from the NFL.
No, I meant like the war room people. I meant like Andrew Berry and Stefanski and the football
people.
Okay,
got you.
I think the owner overstepped and said,
Fitzy,
no, we're doing this.
Fitzy, what did you just say? Because I said
because Jimmy Haslam is so great at making personnel and QB decisions for the Browns.
Go. I didn't say it'll work, but he's the boss. He gets to make whatever mistake he wants, and he can make them over and over again.
Didn't he want Johnny Manziel?
Yeah, oh yeah.
Yeah.
But that's the funny thing. Point. Everyone else gets fired. You're the owner. You can screw up 100 times in a row, and you'll get a 101st opportunity.
I can guarantee you, I don't know her name right off the top, but the lady who is the VP of player personnel out there, who's so hyper-articulate and explained all of their selections early on and why they made the decision to trade away the opportunity to take Travis Hunter, I can guarantee you she's far from enamored with all the off-field antics, the pedigree, the ice, the draft, the war room, everything.
Well, and don't,
I mean, he's a pick. Guys, it is not just, you're not just getting a player who might turn into a decent NFL starter at best, in my estimation. What the hell do I know? But you are getting the whole entourage, the dad, the tweets. Great. Now, you know what the Cleveland Browns need? The president tweeting about them more. That'll help.
You know, it's a side note to the Cleveland Browns. They moved back to Cleveland in 1999.
Hmm.
They've had 40 different starting quarterbacks.
Disaster.
That guy's running out of room on the world's most famous football jersey.
And the biggest disaster was the most recent. Like, you couldn't have a bigger disaster than Deshaun Watson. No. And that's the other issue here is whatever you think Shadur is or will be or the circus, like, do you really want to bring that to the town that just had the Deshaun Watson situation?
I agree.
Almost like
that makes sense.
You
man.
Want Joe Flacco and then like a rookie version of Joe Flacco. Some boring, simple
Tyler Shuck would have been perfect for them.
Yes, probably. Something like
a strong-armed,
that.
Unassuming dude who just could learn from someone like Flacco, old heave-ho Joe, who's been there and done that a couple times. I do not this volume approach of doll hands, the masseuse, old man Flacco, Tiny Dillon, and Shadur in the hangover or the headache. I like, please, Hard Knocks, NFL films, answer our prayers. Put Hard Knocks there this summer.
Any guess so what Mel Kiper gave his grade for the draft of the Cleveland Browns?
A plus,
baby. He gave the Cleveland Browns an A plus.
I'm surprised it was only one
on.
Plus.
Let me see, Ted. I have Bleacher Report.
That's unbelievable.
Well, they deserve an A. In his world, if you took the fifth best player overall in the fifth round, how can you get anything but an A? You took a Hall of Fame talent in the fifth round.
Bleacher Report didn't give them an A, and they gave out seven.
Well, I mean, they're a little bit, they were less emotionally involved in the Shadur Sanders trajectory. Dan Ball, did you have something?
Yeah, so we landed on, he's probably not a fifth round talent. Teddy, where'd you land on second, third round?
Third round.
Maybe, you know, fringe starter, could be a backup. Yep. Jury's still kind of out on what he is, right?
Yep.
So for a backup, you kind of need a certain mentality, right? You're kind of a we over me type
listening
guy.
Listening, Joe Milton, listen to Dan Ball here. Go ahead.
Humble and hungry, Dan Ball.
And I'm asking you, because you obviously can speak to this much more than I can. So does this sound like the kind of mindset that that a backup quarterback would want to have?
If you ain't trying to change the franchise or the coach, that don't give me. So you should know history repeats itself over and over and over. And I've done it over and over and over. So it should be no question why NFL franchise should pick me.
That was
done what? Done what over and over? Gone 13-12, blew a bowl game. Like, didn't win anything, were overhyped to start 2 years of major college football, and then petered
validated
out.
Validated all the doubters' doubts about you?
A legend in his own mind.
It's sad because well, I mean, he comes by it honestly, right? He comes by it honestly.
Yeah, but Deion could back it up.
Well, that right. No, no, right. No, that's the sad part is that he's doesn't have a fraction of the talent his dad has,
right.
But he's acting just like his dad did when he was coming into the NFL.
The sense of entitlement, and, you know, this is a layer we haven't really brought up, but I know there's been a lot of people talking about now, is Deion Sanders the next head coach of the Browns? Are they going to struggle? And then the Haslams bring in Deion Sanders because he might struggle at Colorado.
If I'm Stefanski, I'm worried about it.
Yeah, you should be. You should all be worried, especially if I'm right and there was some pressure or just a forcing to make this pick. Like, okay, I can read the writing on the wall. I'll, you know, start to put my house on the market.
Does this humble him? Does this... because if you ask Mel Kiper, he's going to be still be a star, even though he's just... Does this impact what his NFL career is going to look like ultimately?
No. I mean, if it was a lot of people, like Tom Brady, you know, Brady.
If he was the fifth overall pick, he'd still be a washout.
Yeah, I don't because I think he is who he is at this point in his development. You said it, like college coaches develop the boys, and there's a more important role in that. He's a professional now. The bulk of the development in terms of character and who you are has already been done.
Man, didn't they see this movie already with like Johnny Manziel?
Yeah.
Because, I mean, I thought Shador had one of those workouts. I thought Johnny Manziel had one of the best workouts I've ever seen. Yeah. And what does that mean? You know, it doesn't mean anything.
You know what creates bad decisions? Desperation. And they're desperate. They don't have a quarterback, and a guy that at least some people thought could have been a first-round pick is available. So throw him in the room, and maybe we catch lightning in a bottle, and maybe we're wrong, and maybe he's going to have a chip on his shoulder and prove the world wrong and be the greatest fifth-round quarterback that ever lived. Yes, Diz.
And you think he definitely will be starting for the Browns this year?
At some point, at least one start.
Yeah, but then he'll wash out. So you're saying he'll start, but then he...
Yeah, it won't go well. He'll join this crew where he'll throw, you know, two interceptions for one touchdown.
Well, at least he's faced so much adversity in his collegiate career, so he'll know how to handle that.
Well, also, it's
you know what? Honestly, and in life, Dan, it feels like this guy has just never gotten a fair shake.
It started from the bottom. Now we're here.
And I have to tell you, why is that important? Because football, every practice, every play is about overcoming obstacles and struggle. There's nothing's perfect. How do you react to it?
Right.
How do you overcome it? Play in, play out, game in, game out. If he hasn't been hardened to that kind of feeling, it won't be good.
Won't I love your good. Noises sometimes. 617-779-7937, Shedeur Sanders to the Browns. We're reacting to that. But up next, I want to wrap in a little comments from Patriots draft weekend. I thought we were done with good guys, that they were drafting good guys. And then I listened to Ryan Cowden on Saturday afternoon, I believe it was. And I think we're back to putting some angels in the locker room at Gillette Stadium. So Ryan Cowden's comments about how the Patriots went about drafting this past weekend. That's up next here on WEEI Afternoons.
You're listening to WEEI Afternoons
with Hart, Fitzy, and Johnson.
WEEI Afternoons, talking NFL draft, talking Patriots, talking Red Sox. We talked about everything. We'll get back to Bill Belichick and his interview and his choices in life. He's not making good choices. He's like a bad preschooler. He's making bad
curious,
choices. Bad. Is curious a synonym for bad?
Didn't know in it certain was. Circles, yes.
Dan Ball, quick update, though. Yeah. Out of the statement watch desk, do we have any statement from Jordan? She promised it. I got to think it was about 4+ hours ago now. She promised a statement was forthcoming. Where is it?
She did, and she has not provided yet. So I've been following at Jordan on Instagram. Nothing new other than that conspicuous repost of the video of the autograph that she got from Bill that definitely wasn't forged.
Yes.
So nothing there.
Lord. Does Jordan have a publicist? She might need a publicist.
Yes. Or maybe somebody from North Carolina stepped in and said, okay, what are we doing? Like maybe there's a damage control meeting.
Hey guys, can I tell you honestly, I have seen certain Patriots fans on at the X platform today, not the Andy Hart WEI Afternoons poll of the day. Like Pats fans have been putting up. There's one I saw that it was like, at this point, do you believe Bill Belichick coaches a game for UNC? There were a couple of hundred respondents. It was split 50-50.
Oh, yeah. No, yeah, that is Ted Johnson was the head of the curve on this. I believe you'll be able to hear audio from Ted on NBC Sports Boston tonight. They seem to be picking it up, and it's only moments from now that it'll be going viral. I believe in Australia they'll be talking about Johnson calling for Bill Belichick to no longer be the head coach. I did want to get to Ryan Cowden. First of all, we had a clarification, and I don't know where I saw this, and it could explain, because remember we were like, Ryan Cowden's talking. Why is Ryan Cowden talking? Elliot Wolf's talking.
It's the first time. Campbell's
talking.
First time he's talked.
And I don't know if this explains it or not. Apparently the rule in the NFL is at draft weekend, the top two personnel people, based on whatever your hierarchy is, have to speak, have to be available. So for years, I think that's why Bill Belichick was the GM. And also Nick Caserio, whoever else, Scott Pioli talks. So that fulfills your top two. Hmm. So maybe technically Mike Vrabel isn't the GM. So therefore you had to provide Elliot Wolf and Ryan Cowden as the top two guys in your personnel department. I don't know. I don't know if that explains it or not. Yes, Dan Ball.
And during the NFL draft, teams are required to hold a pre-draft news conference with their head coach, general manager, and or player personnel director.
Right. So yep. I think that's why we're getting him. Also, it could be that eventually they're going to push Elliot Wolf out the door and Ryan Cowden is
going.
I think Vrabel, he wants him talking. I think he wants people to get to know this guy. And I just think he wants to flex his boy a little bit, you know?
So one of the things we talked about with this draft class, Fitzy, was the number of captains, good guys, representative football players, I don't know, people not like Shedeur Sanders that were drafted by the Patriots that fulfilled a lot of on- and off-field criteria. Ryan Cowden talked about this, and we continue to ebb and flow this offseason. Remember, Vrabel wanted good guys in the huddle, and then he kept saying, well, you're not just going to win with good guys. You've got to have talented guys. Yeah. Ryan Cowden came back the other way post-draft talking about the class they put together here in New England. Class
from free agency and now through the draft. They're not always going to be perfect and fit exactly to the criteria, but the most that we can sit there and talk about that we're adding guys who love playing football, guys who are great teammates. We all want talented players, we do. But there's an idea here that can't be overstated enough is that if you don't get the person right, then a lot of that other stuff can go to the wayside. And I think we've been trying to be very intentional about the people, about some of the people to build the foundation that Coach Vrabel and his vision has here for this football team. That started in free agency, and that's been a major emphasis for us as we've gotten into this draft process.
I thought that was a pretty strong answer. You have to be intentional about getting good people. You got to get the person right before you can get the player right.
That's my general manager.
Yeah. Oh, you like that?
You like that.
Yeah.
Love it.
You like that right up until they're 3-7.
Hold on, Dan, though, but flesh that out. What do you like about it?
First of all, I like the confidence in the way that he answered the question, but I am fully of the belief that Wolf's days are numbered and Vrabel wants Cowden to run personnel for the Patriots in the very near future.
But
so
what,
I'm going to continue
makes us
that.
All, sorry, Dan, I didn't mean to step on your toes there, but like, what makes us believe that Elliot Wolf would just get completely kicked to the curb or just told to kick rocks or, you know, a bindle over his shoulder as he walks down the railroad tracks? Like, why can't he still stick around? If this draft works out as well as we think and it was a cooperative union, then, you know, Cowden can slightly usurp the titles and power of Wolf, but why would he leave if they start to build momentum or get a good thing going, guys?
Yeah, I think if it goes well, you're probably not going to run Elliot Wolf out of town. If this draft is what everybody says it is, A plus,
GPA, you're fired.
You know, you drafted five starters and all these contributors, and if you hit on it, then no, I don't think Elliot Wolf is going anywhere. But at the first sign of there's issues in personnel, or even I'll add free agency. You know, if there's some free agent misses, if Milton Williams can't play more, right? They're asking him to like double his playing time from what he was in Philly, and that doesn't work out, and you blew $100 million. Mm-hmm. The scapegoat, or however you want to phrase it, in my opinion, will be Elliot Wolf. That's where Vrabel says, okay, now let's really do it my way, and my way is Cowden's way.
And I think that's the right way. And if I could just tell people that we're talking about the right people. When I talked to Mike over the last year or whatever it was, 2 years ago when he was inducted in the Hall of Fame, and we had a moment, just him and I hanging out, the night of the ceremony, and he was just like, I'm just, you know, I want my teams to be like the teams that we played on. So I'm just going to think about, okay, so he's trying to make the teams, like, you know what, the teams we play on, we were good people, were football men a lot. Football was important to them. They had high compete levels, but they were good dudes. Willie Mack, great dude. Ty Law, good dude. Troy Brown, good dude. I could go on and on, good dudes, but very, very competitive and loved football, all of them. So that's the profile you're trying to kind of make with your football team.
I think the love of football, Fitzy, is the biggest thing, and we're coming up to the break here. But in this modern NIL era, coaches have always said that, how important is football? Football is going to be one of the top priorities in your life, all of that. I think it's even more so now because they're making money. They're living the star life. Hell, some in high school, that's but then point. Certainly in college. Yep. And you said this in the minivan, Ted, the minivan commute in Green Bay. You said it's hard to play football if you aren't, like, dedicated to it, aren't invested, aren't enjoying it, because it's such a tough – you can't just show up and play football, right?
Nope.
And you need people that care about football. Did they get those? I don't know. We'll find out. Also, they need to also be good. They need to care about football, and then while caring about it, be able to run and catch and block and tackle and do all the things. So we'll see how this draft class goes, but they were intentional about bringing good people to New England. Now we got to get back to Bill Belichick. Because Bill Belichick, we're awaiting the statement from Jordan. We're wondering, has Jordan been superseded by somebody at North Carolina? Ted Johnson is going to remind you what he thinks about Bill Belichick's job security at North Carolina. All that and more. All things Bill Belichick and this debacle next here on WEEI Afternoon.
Not talking about this.